Welcome to In the Know with Dr. O. We're recording in the Esports Innovation Lab within the University of Cincinnati 1819 Innovation Hub. I'm David O., Chief Medical Officer of Hoxworth Blood Center. Hoxworth is the blood and blood services provider for all hospitals in Cincinnati and the surrounding tri-state area. We're really pleased today to have Shauna Nastady. I think I'm saying that right. She'll correct me.
Yep, perfect. That was perfect.
She is the laboratory director
of research.
Thank you very much. I'm so bad with titles. And we're really pleased to have her because we're going to talk a little bit about an aspect of Hoxworth that's really important, but we probably don't talk about enough. Yeah. So Shauna has been very active in terms of our research, and we're so pleased to have her. She's been with Hoxworth since 2013. Shauna, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr.
So we always start at the beginning. And so we consider all of our guests heroes in terms of blood services for the area. And so we always ask heroes what their origin story is. So Tell us a little about where you were born, maybe what your parents were doing, and then how you got here.
Yeah, I like to think it's an interesting story, but in the world of research, it's fairly common. I was actually born in Montego Bay, Jamaica.
Oh.
I'm an only child.
So you have a lovely accent.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Very proud of it.
I could listen to you all day long.
Very proud of it. Probably becoming more popular now with the recent Bob Marley movie that just came out. But yeah, I'm an only child born to parents from very humble beginnings.
Oh.
My mom grew up in what we like to call the country region of Jamaica, found her way into the city and met my dad. She was an entrepreneur and had a little boutique that was in downtown Montego Bay. My father worked in tourism his entire life and actually has a trade where he builds ships. He built tourism boats that would take tourists out. They would have that.
So how many people would they hold?
They would probably hold maybe 20 to 30
Oh,
people.
Wow.
So
okay, cool.
Nice
yeah,
size.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were made of fiberglass on the bottom because our waters are so crystal clear in Jamaica. And so people can see, 20, 30 feet, 40 feet even down to the bottom of the ocean.
Wow.
So, yeah, that quite a skill.
So, oh my gosh, so you grew up? You grew up in paradise.
My version of paradise, yes. Yes, I was never too far away from visually seeing the ocean and maybe less than 5 minutes from getting there. So
did
it was
you,
my backyard.
Did you grow up in an area where there are lots of tourists then?
Yes.
Or did you? Okay.
Yes, Montego Bay and Kingston, Jamaica are probably the two largest destinations for Jamaica because that's where the airports are held. And so tourism is the number one industry for Jamaica, obviously, with the beaches and our location. So
that's great. So so then you went to schools there, elementary school. So did you go to private school, public school?
No, it was public school. And then
so what was the school systems like there?
The school system. So we are a former British colony.
Okay.
And so we follow the British style of education. We wear uniforms throughout the entire island, and so it's really easy. It's really fun to see in downtown Montego Bay after maybe 2 or 3 o'clock to see all these students congregate, and you can kind of tell where they go based on the uniforms that they're wearing.
So what do the girls' uniforms look like?
So they're usually some form of a skirt or a dress with like a button-down shirt, and then the colors of the school.
So cute.
Okay. Yeah,
That's so great.
It is.
So you did that all your elementary school then?
I did, as well as my secondary education going into high school as well. And then upon finishing high school, I had a conversation with my parents about wanting to broaden my education and having a desire to move to the United States to do college.
Wow. So did you learn multiple languages then? There's so many tourists around. Is that
so
the thing?
So we have a dialect in Jamaica that is a form of, some would like to call broken English, but it's actually a mix of Portuguese, French influence, and it's called Patois. And that's the stereotypical Irishman that you will hear a lot of
in the movie, right? Okay.
Yeah, and that is how we commonly speak amongst each other. But because of the British influence, we are very formally an English-speaking country.
So you're always very formal. Like, yes. I've always heard you speak very discreetly. And,
yes.
But if you're down with your buddies, then you...
Then I will break down into the dialect and let loose a little bit.
Can I go to Jamaica with you?
Absolutely. I will be your personal tour guide. Oh my
gosh. Let's plan that. Oh, my gosh. I totally want to do that.
Yeah. There's actually a lot of transfusion medicine-related research that's happening in Jamaica right now because of the higher-than-expected rate of sickle cell disease that affects the population. I know that there's a group at Children's where... They actually go down and they do some sickle cell research there on the island.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah.
Dr. Proust will get involved with that.
Yeah, then. Of course. Yeah. That would be great.
No, I don't want to do work when I go down there.
A little bit of work, then some fun.
That's fabulous. Yeah. So, okay, so you're going through high school and then you're like, okay, I think I want to go someplace else.
Yeah. That decision came about mainly because of that British style of education. It's very concentrated. So I knew.
So you have to choose in high school then, like a focus.
You do.
Okay. Gotcha.
So you're somewhat familiar with
this. Well, we talked to another guest who grew up in England. Okay. So we talked a little bit. It was fascinating.
Yes. You have to sort of make your career path very early on. And so you learn those core subjects, and the difference with what happens in the United States or what they call that liberal, you know, school type of education, is that you don't get the electives. It tends to be very narrowly focused on sciences. You do math, you do chemistry, you do biology, you do physics, but then you're not getting that element of like the humanities or all of those other things incorporated. And I very much craved that.
Okay.
And
well, what was your focus?
High school?
Yeah.
Oh, it was science.
Yeah.
So my subject that I sort of gravitated the most towards was biology.
Makes sense.
And then I thought naively that I wanted to become a doctor.
Oh, no.
And so I was moving to the United States with the hope of, you know, getting my bachelor's and then moving on to medical school.
So this is such a, please, you know, simple question. Maybe it's inappropriate, but do most of the physicians come to the United States for training then?
So actually,
I know there are medical schools that are located in that area.
So one of the things that the other driving force for that was that amongst our very tiny Caribbean islands, we have universities that are shared between a number of islands.
Okay.
And so in Jamaica, we have the University of the West Indies located in Jamaica, and that houses the medical school. And so it's open to not only Jamaicans applying, but then also other people from other Caribbean islands can apply and get into that. The law school for the University of West Indies is housed in either Barbados or Trinidad. I can't remember. And it's similarly like that. If I was interested in law, I would have to move to that country to then pursue that degree. And I wanted, you know, more opportunities.
More than that.
Options.
Yes.
So,
So you applied to colleges then?
So I applied to colleges here in the United States. I only within this greater Cincinnati area, though.
So why is that?
Because I'm an only child. My parents were a little nervous to send me to the States and have me be on my own. And my father had a friend who he grew up with in Jamaica who was actually a professor at Northern Kentucky University.
Oh my gosh.
And that was where they felt the most comfortable. I did look into UC, but coming from a very, very tiny high school, I was overwhelmed by the size and the scale that was the University of Cincinnati.
Yeah. It's so funny because I don't think of it as like this huge school, but when you if you look at the numbers though, there are quite a few students here. It's crazy.
It's massive.
Yeah.
It's massive.
The campus does not feel like it, but if you didn't know and you looked at just the numbers, you'd be like, oh my gosh, that's a big, big, big school.
It's very intimidating as a foreigner coming in.
So North Kentucky University?
Yes, NKU.
Yeah. So how did you like that?
You know, I loved my experience there. At the time that I started, it was only 13,000 students. I haven't looked recently to see how much it's grown. I'm sure it has doubled probably, if not tripled. But I felt as if it was a solid block that just had these buildings where I could navigate from one to the next.
Oh, yeah.
And having, you know, this sort of close family friend that was there to kind of guide me through the process and acclimating me to the new culture and then the new education system, I felt like it was a nice sort of introduction.
Yeah,
to
it sounds,
that.
Sounds yeah. that way. That yeah. worked out the way your parents were hoping it would. It
yes,
sounds like.
Yes. I mean, I tell funny stories that one of my first days on campus, the very Midwest thing to do is as you make eye contact yeah. with someone is to say, "Hi, how are you?"
Yeah.
And in Jamaica, we're a very friendly nation, but it's a little different. Huh. And I went home so excited, and I spoke to, you know, my family that I was living with, and I said, "Did you tell them I was coming?" Everyone said hi to me. You know, it was, I was just so excited. I was like, all these people greeted me. You must have published it somehow in the newspaper that so I was coming.
Funny.
So, yeah.
So, when I was a kid, I grew up in a small town in Wisconsin, Whitewater, Wisconsin, very friendly, you know, and so yeah. you'd walk and everybody would wave to you, and then went to, you know, a bunch of different cities, you know, and of course, you know, experiences change. And when my wife and I and our kids moved back to Cincinnati, we were so happy that yeah. people in our little area where we live in Loveland, when you would drive, they would wave at you. Yeah. And it's just like, oh, gosh, that's so – but yeah. it's so natural,
it
you know.
Is.
It's And it's just
it
really great.
Recently, my husband and I went to New York, and that was – a big, you know, shift
yeah.
for him. He was like, oh, I kind of waved and said, yeah. nodded to someone, and they just kept going. And I was like, well, you're not in the Midwest anymore, so, yeah.
I don't want anything. I don't want anything.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so funny. So, okay, so what was your focus in school?
I have a bachelor's degree in biological sciences.
Okay.
So, again, the sciences.
Yeah, no, yeah. that was great.
And I was pre-med.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, throughout the time I was there.
So 4 years then for a degree there?
So I actually got done in 3.
Oh, of course you did.
Yeah, yeah. I did a couple semesters doing 21 credit hours. I went throughout the summer
gosh.
And did things. I was highly motivated, you know, and I desperately wanted to become a physician.
So this is one of the things Jose has always mentioned about you, Dr. Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Is that you are the hardest working person that he knows. Like, he compares you to him, right?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
He's like, she works harder than I do,
yeah.
which is just, that's
yeah. We do have praise. That in common, and we share that where when we decide to put our minds to something, we go all in.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay, so
especially course, when it comes on to our work here at the Blood Center. So
we'll get into that. We'll get into that. So 3 years then.
Yes.
And then, so what's the plan then after that?
So after that, I started to look into medical schools, and I got really jaded by not really doing my focus in college was just to get through the courses, was to get all A's, was to try to build that perfect resume to go on to medical school. And then as I approached that last year and started to look into it, I realized that, you know, as an international student, the funding for medical school looks very different than if you are a naturalized citizen. And it sort of put a little curveball in those plans for me and forced me to think about, is this really what I wanted to do or not do? And there was a job fair at our college for Cincinnati Children's.
Okay.
And they started to discuss, you know, working in the laboratory and being a research assistant. And I said, well, let's apply and see what happens. And so I did.
So can you say whose laboratory you worked in?
Yeah. So my first job was with a foreigner who was very common in research. His name was Christopher Baum.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was the subject area that you were studying?
So he was actually, so it was in the CBDI division, what is now CBDI,
okay.
Cancer and Blood Disease Institute, Experimental Hematology, Cancer Biology. And his focus was on viral vectors.
Oh,
so at the time in 2014, there was a lot of research in retroviruses. And that being, you know, the hot button issue for gene therapy, sickle
gotcha.
Cell gene therapy, other different types of diseases and using that in gene therapy. And there was a little bit of a curveball in that using retroviruses, there is this phenomenon known as insertional mutagenesis.
Sure, sure.
And so in trying to cure one type of cancer, you may later trigger and cause another type. So we were investigating safer ways that gene therapy can be done using lentiviruses.
Wow, that's great. Okay, it's interesting. So you were involved with the lentivirus, which is research, which is something that we continue to do here at Hawksworth. But that's not your focus anymore at Hawksworth.
No, that's not my focus anymore.
So let's kind of go through. So you worked in that laboratory, and then what happened?
So I was at Children's for 9 years.
Oh gosh,
And I was beginning to think about wanting to be in an area of research where there was slightly more instant gratification. And so
it's hard, isn't it? In research, you just don't see.
It's a long haul.
Yeah.
And it's a long haul.
It may not yield anything.
It's one of the frustrating things, and you really have to be dedicated to the field, is that I always tell new, research technicians coming in, there's a reason that we call it research and not just search. There's that aspect of having to keep going and redoing. It's the more questions you ask and then you receive an answer, it leads to then more questions.
Yeah.
So in my 20s, I didn't really have as good or as strong of an appreciation for that particular area of research as I do now.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to be on the other side, which was the clinical side, where I loved being in the lab. I love wearing my white hood and I love spending hours sitting at the bench and pipetting and investigating and getting data and presenting it. But I'm also, I also have this very social aspect to me. And so with clinical research, I was able to kind of marry the two. And the lab that we have here at Hawksworth beautifully marries the two. We are able to interact with our healthy volunteer donors. And so I get that human connection to it.
Yep.
And then we then bring those samples into the laboratory. I get my white coat element of it.
Yeah.
And then I get that more instant gratification of knowing that that research ends up somewhere on the FDA spectrum of then moving on to patient care.
Yeah, Hawksworth is just such a unique place because you get the opportunity to work with all these healthy individuals, right? And you're still in healthcare.
Yes.
And we still see very sick patients, right, in certain parts of our organization.
Yes.
But in large parts of the organization, it's all working with healthy donors.
Yes.
And they're just wanting to help other people who are not doing well right now, and so it's
beautiful thing.
It is, isn't it?
It's the most beautiful thing to know that the most precious gift that you can give is the gift of life, as we say, through blood donation. So
fabulous. Yeah. So you worked in the lentivirus laboratory for a while, and then did you come straight to Hawksworth then from there?
Yeah.
Okay.
9 years at Children's, and then
You working with Dr. Gonzalez right away then?
So he was actually within that department. His sister lab was within that department.
Gotcha.
The moment that I entered Children's, I knew of Dr. Kinsella. I did not work directly with him, but we would see each other in the hallways. I knew what his research was. Yeah. I knew all of the people who he worked with and who worked for him. And then I heard that there was an opportunity and that there would be a position open because someone was retiring.
Yeah.
And I had a conversation with him. I interviewed for the position and then was fortunate enough to receive it.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
And what year was that?
So this was 2013.
That was 2013. Yeah. Okay, great. So Dr. Gonzalez, his history is really, again, something that is unique for Hawksworth, where he had such influence at UCMC and he has such influence at Children's Hospital, and actually, a big part of his job was working for Children's Hospital, and then Hawksworth, which is University of Cincinnati.
Yes.
And so he has been all over the place, and then not only with those major organizations, the big teaching organizations here in town, but then we touch every single other hospital in town. So it's really amazing. I feel like we're kind of the United Nations sometimes of the area as well.
I agree. I would agree with that. He, over the years with working with him, I'm now entering into my 11th year at Hawksworth. He has such a quest for knowledge.
Yeah.
It's just the driving force for everything. He wants to know everything. And when you work with him and work with him closely, it becomes very infectious.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. So, so we'll talk a little bit about the history of Hawksworth, and I can't go back, you know, actually that far, but yeah. I know before Dr. Gonzalez came, there was a researcher whose name was Tibby Greenwalt.
Yes.
And he has influenced my life in a lot of ways, although I didn't really know him at all. He was very senior.
Yeah.
But he was the first medical director at the blood center, Milwaukee Blood Center,
okay.
which later became Blood Center in Wisconsin. Yeah. And he's got this big portrait that's there. It's still in the building today. And that organization has grown from a smaller organization, but Milwaukee Blood Center is one of the OGs of blood centers. So it's been around forever. And, but is now the headquarters for Versity, which is a 4-state, huge, you know, blood collection machine.
Yes.
And his influence has been really huge. And after he spent time in Milwaukee Blood Center, I believe he went to Red Cross for a number of years, and then he came to Cincinnati. Yeah. And so it's remarkable that, you know, I trained in Milwaukee for my fellowship and then came here, and the same type of relationship between the blood center and the hospitals kind of exist. And I think it's his footprint.
I think it's his footprint.
And because it's very much the model that was in Milwaukee, where the medical directors will wear a hat both at the blood center and at the hospital.
Yeah.
And that way they can understand, oh my gosh, there's going to be a need for this product.
Absolutely.
You know, and then the blood center can respond.
Absolutely.
Versus, you know, being so disjointed and then trying to understand, what do our hospital customers need? What do they need? You live it, and then you're like, make it happen because you have access to be able to change their production and the ways things work. So, and it's not that often, you know, common now as you kind of go and look at different blood centers and different blood center models. Yeah.
It's interesting. It seems like it would be the most practical way to do things.
I think, you know, we all, you have these little organizations, and then they kind of just do what's best for the those organizations. And so that's one of the things we've been able to do at Hawksworth, is really keep an eye and ear on, you know, the hospitals and the medical, the physicians in the area, and try to respond to their needs, and even, you know, try to jump ahead if you can't predict, you know, so you can stay ahead of what's happening. So I think that that's been an important part of kind of what we do here. So you've been working in Dr. Gonzalez. What do you do in general in terms of research at the blood center?
Yeah. So our research is, to me, it's very interesting. One of the things that's very important for everyone to know is that the types of products that we use for patient care has to be evaluated at the highest regulatory level, which is through the FDA. Yeah.
So blood is a drug.
Yes.
It's a pharmaceutical product.
Yes.
And it's the only one that's created by nonprofit organizations. But that doesn't mean that we don't have to comply with cGMP, good manufacturing processes, that all the pharmaceutical companies use.
Yes.
And so it's so challenging, right?
It's very challenging.
And it's when you create a blood product, you actually have to prove that the red cells are going to survive, you know, after you transfuse them.
The product is safe.
So it's, I believe, what, 75% of red cells have to survive, you know, after 24 hours after you. So you actually have
to.
I had to take boards years ago. There's little things that I remember. And so, and so you actually have to prove it. And so we won't go into the specifics of a lot of stuff, but that's something that Cincinnati has been, Hawksworth has been really instrumental and pivotal, excuse me, in providing those types of tests, making sure that quality is done, quality control tests are done, and having protocols for all that stuff. And so that's a big part of, I think, the focus and the blood center side, it's the beautiful side, right? Different preservatives. So we've been very instrumental in different preservatives. Storage methods. You know, all these different things in terms of really creating the way that transfusion services hold their products, the way the blood centers produce their products,
yes.
you know, that have had a huge impact on the industry.
So oftentimes those technologies will pass through laboratories like ours at Hawksworth, and we do those initial tests on blood that is donated by healthy volunteers. And then that data gets submitted to the FDA before it can be licensed to be used on patients.
Yeah.
And so we're kind of at that forefront, you know, before the patient care. Yeah. So it really is, it's wonderful to see various things that are now licensed that 8 years ago were a part of research clinical trials that we did. And now I can walk into the blood center and see some of those instruments or read about them being used, you know, by the military and other groups. So
it's fabulous, it's great. Right?
Yeah.
Actually,
I go home and I sleep really well at night.
You can actually see the impact.
I can see the impact. That instant gratification I was looking for.
That's fabulous.
Yeah,
it's really amazing, you know, in terms of being able to see the impact that we have in the industry. Okay, so I want to cut away a little bit to a discussion about you personally, which was just awesome. So when COVID hit.
Yes.
It was, I hadn't been here that long. I mean, it was a couple of years. It's crazy. I feel like I was just here.
Yeah.
And we had to create convalescent plasma. Mm-hmm. And it was such a challenge, right, for us. But within 3-4 weeks, we actually had a product labeled and ready to go. It was insane. And so I have to thank FDA. They gave us a great plan in terms of you know, what we needed to do to be able to create convalescent plasma. Mm-hmm. And amazingly, it was clear. It was concise. It was like, we can do these things.
Yes.
Initially, it was just great. And one of the things they really wanted for us was to, you know, contact potential donors and make sure that they were qualified to be able to donate convalescent plasma. And so we're like, oh gosh, who's going to do this, right? So this is non-conventional, high-level thinking, you know, because you have to actually talk to donors and kind of ask them about symptoms and ask them, have you had these tests? And it was so complicated in terms of what's a test and, you know, if it had results and all this other stuff. It was so early and everything. And so Jose suggested, you know, we had to kind of stop our research because COVID-19 is crazy and all everybody's resources are everywhere else and we can't have donors come in and do your subject, your subjects come in. Yeah. And so he's like, Shauna has volunteered, you know, to whatever she can, she'll help. And so we had you, I think it was just you.
For a while, it was just me. And then a couple of my team members started helping
some people
later.
Yeah, it's good. Once you got it down.
Yes.
But you created the whole, this is how I'm going to record this stuff. This is the, you know, the format I'm going to do. This is, you know, these are the forms I'm going to collect and helped us with creating the forms and, you know, all that stuff. And then you called all of these donors and had conversations with them. And then we had paperwork and then Jose and I would meet every single morning and we would go through and review your work. And I was just amazed at that. I mean, it was just so beautiful. It was just so, and you worked so hard on that. And
I did my best, but I was inspired by all of you. You know, we're a tiny little department at Hawksworth and this blood center really is miraculous. It's marvelous at how groups come together and really work together. And I think that project for us really brought everyone together. And it was everyone. We were in such a crisis at that time. And everyone wanted to do what they could to just really save lives. I mean, we do that every day, but this was on a different scale. You know, we impact a fraction of the population that's there, I think, like nationally, even globally, that receive blood. It's not a lot of people who receive it. But this was something that was affecting more than what we normally do. And it was larger than all of us. And I thought that there was so much beauty in how you brought everybody together and what you and Dr. Kinsalis wanted to do, and to see everyone from marketing come together and just to give their voice and to lend a hand to get this done. And it was beautiful.
Yeah. You know, outside of my laboratory, their QC section there, they came every day. There is no way you can do that remotely, right?
Yeah.
And they wore masks, and they, I mean, it was brutal.
Yeah. There was so much unknown.
I started, you know, initially, like, stayed home, you know, like, everybody needs to stay home. And I, like, couldn't, you know, and you know, the effort that those folks were giving, you know, throughout the entire blood center, that really changed me, actually. And it was proof for me that we really could make a difference and we could really band together and do something amazing. It was it was amazing. So, yeah, you were very inspirational during that period, because not only were you doing all this work, but there was something else going on with you at the time, right? What was that? That while this whole thing is going on, you don't even want to mention it, right?
No, I don't even want to mention it. No.
Like, I think we violated, like, so I think we can talk about it now. I think we violated a bunch of work rules. We won't talk about this. You're freaking 9 months pregnant. Yeah. Like, 9 months pregnant. Yeah. On the day you freaking delivered, I think you called some donors that day. I was like, oh my God. I was like, Jose, she needs some time off, you know?
Yeah.
I hope you don't get in trouble. But it was just, that was just like unbelievable. And it was something that I could tell we wouldn't be able to stop you, actually, from doing that, because you knew the importance of what you were doing.
I did.
It was just phenomenal.
There was very little that was going to stop me.
Yeah. From doing it was that. Like, okay, just stand back, because John is going to call these people.
I understood the mission, and I was all in. I was all in.
So
what I could to help.
Let me thank you again for that, because I don't think I've thanked you enough for that. Because
there's no need.
Oh no, there is no need. And you're so humble too with it. You know,
there was no need. That was my gift to give. That was my way of wanting to contribute to this organization, and I believe in our mission, and I see every day just the amazing things that we're able to do on every front. Yeah. So,
well, thank you again so much.
No problem.
So,
thanks for allowing me to be a part
of
it.
Oh my gosh. Yes. No.
Acquiescing.
Not fighting me on it. Yeah. Believe me, I don't want to get hurt in this process. Just be quiet, Sam. No, it was great. And then we, over time, you know, we got it down to like such a, you know, a good process. Yes. You know, and then then FDA would throw in a new wrinkle. Yes. They'd be like, oh, now you gotta do this, and oh, now you gotta do this, and no,
always. Yeah.
So, but you know, until the very end, I think we were always one step ahead. You know, and then and then. You know, at the end, it was like, it was time to kind of stop the process as other
drugs and therapies
became available. Yeah, and the need for the convalescent plasma was really lessened. So, but it was a great experience. It was a great learning experience. And I think it was great for the organization, actually.
It was wonderful. I know, you know, my boss, Nita, played a role in that too.
Yeah.
The regulatory element and helping with that. And I mean, just to see, it was nice to see everyone come in and just display their strong leadership skills in really taking a little part and seeing it through.
So. We'll talk a little bit about Nita as well. Yeah. So you work very closely with Nita.
Very closely with Nita. I like to think that I'm her left brain sometimes. Then the right brain of Dr. Kinsella.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I have, you know, these two great supervisors. They've worked together for, I would think now it's been almost 20 years.
Wow.
And they've really built up our department to where it is now. And it is an internationally recognized clinical research laboratory in transfusion medicine. Yeah. She, like me, didn't originate from the United States. She's Indian.
Yep.
Very proud, you know, to be Indian. And she's been at Hawksworth, I think 26 years, maybe almost 30. Yeah. And she just loves what she does. I mean, she loves working with our clinical research sponsors. She loves the laboratory element of what we do, and really bringing together a study from start to closure. And we've got an amazing team.
That's awesome. So I met with you guys because I wanted to learn more about what you're doing. And it clarified things for me because Jose does so much different research, right?
Yes.
But you were able to kind of segregate it out a little bit for me in terms of the things that you and Nita are doing are really more blood center focused and more kind of cellular components and, you know, all these different studies that need to be done in order to continue to use the products we're doing and to make changes to them as they go along. And a lot of what Dr. Gonzalez was doing, it was over doing lentivirus studies and some of the other, other
cancer
things.
Biology related. He has many research interests. He's a brilliant man, and his mind is able to really just work on so many things. He's passionate about transfusion medicine because of that patient connection, knowing the impacts that are there. But on the other side of things, we need what we call basic science research to kind of drive us to the type of research that I do. He is really on the invention side of things, thinking about his own ideas, sharing ideas with others, and, you know, creating things together. And those eventually lead to some kind of technology or a drug that then needs to be tested in healthy volunteers before then they can become approved for use in therapy. And, you know, he is an MD, PhD. And so he really does the full circle of research.
Classic physician scientist. Yeah. Yes, yes.
He touches every aspect of it. Yes, yes. So
yeah, it's very cool to see him work and to see
very
the things
cool
he does.
To see him work.
So the vast majority of blood for donors who are interested is not used for these purposes, right? No. And actually, many of the things that you're doing, the donors will know if they're being involved because you actually will recruit some donors to participate in the studies.
We will recruit, and we have ethical guidelines that require us to inform them about what it is we're going to be doing with their blood. Consent is very important. We've learned that through the history of research.
Yes,
you know, everyone has either read now the book that was published about Henrietta Lacks and HeLa cells and knowing how important it is to obtain consent from research donors. So that's primary for us in being able to fully convey to them what the purpose of the study is and what is required of them and have them voluntarily determine whether or not they would like to participate in that and recognize that they can walk away at any time. So, but it is a very tiny fraction. Most of our studies that we do requires, you know, 12 donors for some specialized type. We might go up to 30 or 60, but it's really a small amount. And those usually occur over several months even.
So I guess I didn't want to make people worried that, you know, there's this whole huge research wing that's kind of going on with this. Most of the studies are really involving, unless the products are, you know, or unless the samples you're using are anonymized. We'll have consents that are signed and people will know what's kind of going on.
Yes. So when people come in to donate for us, they know that they're here for a research donation. So
fabulous.
Yeah.
So, what do you see for your future? How are things going?
So I think my future is very bright.
That's great.
I think my future is very bright. I love what I do.
You just got promoted recently to this position. So congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I've been able to, over these 11 years, learn a significant amount from, you know, everyone that I work with at Hawksworth. And now I'm in a position where I train our junior staff to help them to become, you know, great scientists, blood bank scientists in that regard. And I would love to continue doing what I'm doing and have our department continue to contribute to this field. And Dr. Kinsales has kind of opened up the door for us to do innovative types of research. When he became the director, we were one-dimensional in the types of research that we did. We only worked on red blood cell products, and he was able to open up our testing and our capabilities to take on platelet products.
Yes.
And to be able to analyze platelet products and different types of storage solutions for platelets. And now we're doing a lot of studies where we're looking at plasma.
Yeah.
And different forms of plasma, not just liquid plasma, but maybe powdered plasma.
Yeah.
So he's really expanded our group. We test medical devices also. Those are also FDA regulated instruments if they're used on patients.
Yes.
So I think our future is very bright.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, that, I think that's great. So we always kind of close with a question about blood and blood donation. And hopefully there's some donors who are listening to this and some potential donors who are listening to this. So I always kind of ask, you know, if you could say something to somebody who's thinking of donating. So somebody who has not donated yet, but, you know, maybe they have a friend who's donated and they aren't sure what the whole deal is, and but are curious.
Yeah.
What would you say to somebody who's considering donating for the first time?
I would say to that individual that there's no better gift that you can give. There's no pressure to do it.
Right.
But just to know that the entirety of the experience from the moment you walk into any of our blood center donations will probably be one of the best experiences that you've ever had. We have such friendly and caring staff who are going to take care of you. They want you to enjoy the experience. They want you to walk away feeling as if you've just done the best thing that you could ever do. So the experience itself, you will enjoy. And then the product that you give is also going to save a life.
Yeah.
And without people who volunteer, we're not able to help patients in need. So,
well, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Very nice. Any last words you wanted to mention? Or?
No, just thank you for the opportunity.
Okay. Well, gosh, Shauna, I love, you know, stopping by and saying hi to you. And you're always...
I love our chats.
such energy and such positivity. It's always just a pleasure to work with you. So
well, same here, Dr. O.
Great, thanks. Well, you've been listening to In the Know with Dr. O.